This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل.
Assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners out there, the listeners and the viewers. So, yes, I think the entire world is still trying to deal with the shock that has gripped and plagued the entire planet. And I have done a host of series on YouTube regarding how we should be dealing with this. And is this an affliction or is it a test? Does it equate death for a believer, etc., etc.? But going forward today, again, from Quran and Sunnah, I want to share some reflections. The first thing that I would like to say is, you know, prior to Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the earth will be jolted. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. When the earth will be jolted and the earth will vomit out its contents. وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. أَثْقَال, the plural of the word ثِقْل. It will spew out that which contains within it, be it the corpses, be it the treasures, etc. وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. And mankind will kind of object and say, but what's wrong with the earth? We've never seen the earth do this before. And this is precisely what people are saying. But what happened to the earth? Someone said, can you just stop the world for a moment? I want to get off. There's no getting off. Can you unplug 2020 and put it back on? No, I'm afraid you cannot. And people will react in shock and in you know, they will be absolutely perplexed by the happenings of the earth. So they will say, Malaha, what's wrong with the earth? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bi anna rabbaka awhalaha. There's nothing wrong with the earth. It's precisely operating by the decree of the Almighty. And exactly the same is happening in the world. Many people will speculate. Many people will speculate that, listen, there is the virus, but there's something beyond the virus. There is the illness, but there is a deeper agenda behind this. Is the imposition of vaccination. It is to dry out the nations. It is to introduce another currency, etc. You know, whether that's a reality or not, again, from the Quran, we learn a you know, counsel and guidance in this regard, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that conspiracy, إِنَّمَا النَّجْوَى مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَيْسَ بِضَارِّهِمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. That this is a conspiracy or private discussions is one of the, you know, إِنَّمَا النَّجْوَى مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, is from the devil. لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, to inflict grief upon the believers. وَلَيْسَ بِضَارِّهِمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Ultimately, it cannot harm anyone until and unless with the permission of the Almighty. So that remains our aqeedah and our belief that whatever is happening by the allowance of the Almighty. You know, I was reading, and that's going to be the focus of the days as we progress, how we can take solace, guidance, and comfort from Quran and Sunnah. And as a believer, one of the greatest comfort we can take, and I will share this from Quran, and you know, the scholars will appreciate it probably more than anyone because of the verse of the Quran, is that regardless of how daunting and complex a situation is, a believer always takes solace from the fact that it could be worse. Regardless of how paralyzing, incapacitating, daunting, this is no ordinary deal. What has happened in the world, this is not micro, this is macro, this is not local, this is international. This hasn't impacted one segment of society. It has had ripple effects right across the globe on every front, And of course, as believers, the biggest blow for us to know that in part of curbing or trying to contain the spread of this virus is that even the Haramain had to be closed down, and hence the Buyutullah and the Masajid of Allah. So there is a verse in the 13 Juz in Surah Ibrahim in which Allah says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا. That if you were to enumerate the bounties of Allah, لَا تُحْسُوهَا, you simply cannot count it. Now, listen to this here. And when I read this, I said, Subhanallah, you know, فيه علم الأولين والآخرين ولكن تقاصرت عنه أفهام الناس. The Quran will always have the knowledge of the past and the future. It's just human intellect that will evolve gradually to tap into it. Under this ayah, in Bayan al-Quran, in Masail al-Suluk, it is written, Hakim al-Ummah rahimahullah writes, قُلْتُ حَتَّى عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ النَّارِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The bounties of Allah are infinite, are innumerable, are limitless, and every one of us is a recipient and a beneficiary to the bounty of Allah, to the extent even the occupants of hell, the Ahlun Nar, are also enjoying a type of a bounty of the Almighty. Now one will pause for a moment and think, but wait, hang on, hell is the pinnacle of pain, agony, distress, anxiety, etc. Allah says in the 15th Juz in Surah Bani Israel, Inna jahannama jaza'ukum jaza'an mawfura ay wafira. That hell is the ultimate and it's a complete and a wholesome punishment for the occupants of hell. But he writes that even the occupants of hell, and I don't want to digress and speak about the intensity of their torment. The point I want to focus on, regardless of how bleak a situation is, a believer always tells himself, it could be worse, it could be worse, it could be more severe, it could be more intense, right? So Bani Israel were restricted to the Valley of Thi, and that was not a shutdown and an isolation for 3 weeks for 40 years. But Allah reminded them that during that period of isolation and lockdown, we favored them with man and salwa. That was the time on which man and salwa came to them. So as part of the lockdown and the challenges that we do face and we contend and we limited and we desk bound, and, you know, for people who travel, for people like myself who are on the move all the time, it's fairly challenging. But he goes on to explain in this ayah, and then he gives the reference of Ruhul Ma'ani on the strength of Ibn Abi Dunya and Bayhaqi, that the author of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is mentioned. He used to say, Inna lillahi ta'ala ala ahli an-nari minna, falaw sha'a la'adhabahum bi ashadd min an-nar. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ النَّارِ مِنَّا. And then I open Ruhul Ma'ani, Allama Shihabuddin, Alusi Baghdadi, rahimahullah. Not that I would doubt whatever is written in Bayanul Quran. I mean, I love it. A day doesn't pass in my life where I don't read Bayanul Quran. And I have a book before me, Shawqi Watan, which I hope to expound and elucidate on. It's also the writings of Hakimul Ummah, rahimahullah. And the backdrop of this book is that in India, in the district of Muzaffarnagar, there was a plague that lasted for an extended period of time, and it created a lot of doom and gloom and sadness and depression amongst people. And Hakimul Ummah rahimahullah said, I felt the need in my discourses to let people know that, wait, hang on, as much as precaution is vital and integral, death is not something we despise. Death is not something that is despicable to a believer. It's not something that he withdraws from. It's not something that he is uneasy towards. And he said, I started focusing my discourses on the positive energy of maut, etc. And in a period of few days, I observed that people came out of that sense of depression. There was some sense of brightness. There was pragmatic. So he then, you know, enumerates all the ahadith pertaining to ta'un and plague. And first he commences with the ahadith pertaining to general illness, sickness, disease, etc. and how Allah rewards. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that indeed there is a specific bounty of the Almighty upon the occupants of hell. And that is, if Allah wanted, Allah could subject them to a torment more intense than hell. Allah is in absolute control. Allah could have paralyzed the world more than he paralyzed it. He's brought it to his knees. He's brought it to a halt. That's the eye of a believer. It is challenging. I mean, when I read this, Allah is my witness. I called my spouse. I called my kids. I put it on the family chat. I gave a talk in the masjid the same day. Because for me, it was an answer, not only understanding the beauty of this ayah, but in every challenge of my life, if the occupants of hell, which is the pinnacle of misery and the pinnacle of pain, right? Allah speaks about a host of difficulties. So now you're in your house, and each situation makes you think about so many different things. And that's what I'm hoping to also expound on. You're probably going to, first you're dealing with being closed doors, locked up, and just being limited. Now you have the children having their own squabbles and their own feuds, which is a separate challenge of itself. Allah speaks about the pain of the occupants of hell, the punishment, and then Allah says their arguments is a separate affliction. إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَحَقٌ تَخَاصُمُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ You say, okay, you know what, I can be indoors, I'm isolated, I'm quarantined, it's fine. But you know what, these kids are just on top of me. And how do I keep them at peace? So it's a separate pain now where they're arguing. And now you sit and think about those pains. I mean, for me, I have been thinking about this. Another reflection is that how your own environment overnight can become so strange. When I came here on the street, this is not the Cuckoo Avenue I know. When I exited off my house, it's not the Garrick Circle I know. When I drove in the streets of Lanesha, it's not the Lanesha I know. And for me, it was now thinking of Ka'b bin Malik radiyallahu anhu. فَلَيْسَتْ هِيَ الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي كُنْتُ أَعْرِفُهَا تَنَكَّرَتْ لِي الْأَرْضِ تَنَكَّرَتْ لِي الْأَرْضِ Ka'b bin Malik said, it wasn't the Medina I knew. حَتَّى كَمُلَ لَنَا خَمْسُونَ لَيْلَ 50 long nights, nobody would look at me. I would greet. I scaled the wall of Abu Qatada. I said, Anshuduka billah. Oh Qatada, I swear in the name of Allah, do you know I love you? He didn't say anything. And he was Ibn Ammi, he was my cousin. Why things have changed? And that's again a lesson for us, that the environment in which you are, Allah can just reverse things. Allah can just turn things. Sometimes you're in a company, you're the CEO, and then they just go liquidated. And once upon a time, you used to sit here, you used to issue decrees. You were a household name here. You had your own PA system. You had your private office. Now you walk in here. Neither the company remains nor the building remains. Or there's a particular person married in a family, probably in the context of a woman or a man. And you know what? It was a good empire. It was an opulent home. The husband passes on. The house becomes now an issue of contention amongst the siblings. And suddenly the spouse and children have to move out. Yesterday, this woman was the queen in this house. She was reigning supreme in this house. How things can change. Things can change. You walk around you. Now you're like over your shoulders. Is this the same place where I could walk freely yesterday? Well, now I cannot anymore. And that brings me to the couplets of Imam Shafi rahimahullah. Wa ardu Allahi wasi'a. Wa ardu Allahi wasi'a. Lakin idha nazala al-qada daqa al-fida. The land of Allah is so vast. You can travel and traverse. Now I'm going to Durban, I'm going to meet a cousin. We're off to London next week. Yeah, my daughters call me there. And then, yeah, my nephew is getting married in Dubai, so we're flying. And the poet says, the land of Allah is vast, and you can move along freely and openly and casually. But when the angel of death knocks your door, then even your one house cannot accommodate you. Then even your one house. Now you're looking over your shoulders. You're masking yourself. You're gloving yourself. You're coming out for basic necessity. Ka'b bin Malik said, I would walk in the streets of Medina. It's not the Medina I knew. It's not the people I knew. Things had turned. Of course, then I had prayed for their salah. And then I heard the caller call out, Abshir ya Ka'b. Glad tidings, O Ka'b. Bi khayri yawmin marra alayka mundhu waladatka ummuk. For the greatest day since your mother had given birth to you. And then I knew it was my Tawbah, and that had moved on. So the point is, as bleak, as challenging as the situation is, Allah is in control. He is sovereign. He tells us, and for me, it's just looking at Quran. For me, it's just looking at Quran all the time. And it gives you a reflection that he speaks about how he paralyzed the pharaonic power. Pharaoh, the tyrant. What did Allah say? Al-Qummal, wal-Zafadi' wal-Jarad. La ilaha illallah. That Allah paralyzed them with locusts, with frogs, with lice. Under Qummal, in the footnotes of Jalalain, there's different opinions if it's the regular lice that sets into a person's hair or something else is meant. But take the interpretation or the infliction of locusts. How trivial a creature. Frogs. ففي الطعام ضفادع وفي الشراب ضفادع وفي الملابس ضفادع وجنود الله لا تعمل فيها السهام. وجنود الله أبو الحسن الندوي رحمه الله writes that this was the army of Allah. And for the army of Allah, you can't equip yourself. You can't take a position. Okay, right, where's it coming? So yes, Allah can turn things. So that's the reflection. The second reflection, just to tie up again, is as bleak as the situation is, Allah could make it worse. That's the eye of a believer. In everything, Urwa ibn Zubair, when he lost his one leg and he lost his one son, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَىٰ أَعْطَانِي أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الْأَطْرَافِ وَأَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الْبَنِينَ وَأَخَذَ مِنْهُمْ وَاحِدٌ وَأَبْقَى لِي ثَلَاثَةً وَإِمُّ اللَّهِ لَئِنْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنِّي قَلِيلٌ فَلَقَدْ أَبْقَى لِي كَثِيرٌ وَلَئِنْ ابْتَلَانِي مَرَّةً فَطَالَمَا عَافَانِي مَرَّاتٍ. That Allah gave me four sons, He took one. He could take three and leave one. He gave me two hands and two legs. He could take three and leave one. But He took one and left three. That's the eye of a believer. And let me say to you, my brother and my sister, my listener, my viewer, you know what? It hurts me to see the level of doom and gloom that has gripped the ummah. It's, in fact, if I quote, who am I to quote? The opening, the foreword of Hakim al-Ummah in this book, Shawqi Watan, which a good friend of mine's from London, he called me and he said, why don't you do a dars on this? And I said, yeah, okay, I am doing some YouTube series. I'll see and I'll take some iqtibasat. Hakim al-Ummah rahimahullah writes that during the time of plague, I told the people, sadness on the face of a believer is due to his lack of confidence in the system of Allah and trust in Allah and dislike for death. That can only take a believer into that situation. Otherwise, a believer surrenders himself to the will of the Almighty. You know, there's another reflection I read that the question arises that when Bani Israel were in isolation and in quarantine, and it was 40 long years, then Sayyidina Musa and Harun alayhima min Allahi as-salatu wa taslim, they were also there. Now they were, of course, pure, innocent, sinless souls. So why is it that they were subjected to that when they were sinless and they were pure and they had not committed any crime? And Sayyidina Musa had even asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, you make a decision between me and my people because, you know, they have not complied and obeyed. فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ رَبِّ إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ إِلَّا نَفْسِي وَأَخِي فَفْرُقْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. In Bayan al-Quran, something very profound is written. It's written that Sayyidina Musa and Harun alayhima min Allahi as-salatu wa taslim were physically in the valley of Ti, but their hearts were not gripped by the anxiety of the other people. So their hearts were at peace. And he writes there, it was the restlessness of the hearts that was the real infliction more than the limitation of the body. So physically they were limited to a place, but that was not the real infliction. In principle, that was part of the infliction. But the real infliction was the inner restlessness, that they were uneasy. And Sayyidina Musa and Harun were at peace. And then he further writes, similar to how the malaika that are in charge of hell will be in hell, but this will not be any punishment upon them. The occupants of hell will be in hell. The malaika alayha malaikatun ghiladun shidadun la ya'asun Allah, as Allah says, they will be there, but they will be in the fire as peace. Fire rescue workers will get in with the gear. They're not burning, their clothing is not flammable, their life is not threatened, they have the hose to extinguish, they have the gear to protect themselves. So the point I'm saying is that a believer, he is at peace. Now, you know, one of the things that probably each one of us is, questioning himself and doing some self-introspection, which is great, is the aspect of I need to change my life for the better. I need to change my life for the better. And everybody, if I can make an appeal, I posted it on Twitter yesterday as well. I said, isolation won't kill you, but being hooked to your device will kill you. Isolation indoors won't kill you, but being hooked to your device will kill you. It's no crime to delete something without downloading it. It's no crime to delete something without downloading it. There's no obligation upon you. There's just an overload of information. There's just an overload. Shut your device, put it aside, and reflect. Now, often, and this again, I give you a cue from Quran, we go into a mode of regret. But let me tell you, sheer regret, if it is not coupled with action, is inadequate to attract the mercy of Allah. And this is mentioned again in the Quran. So in the tale and the narrative of our eldest siblings, the two sons of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Qabil and Habil. When Qabil, he killed his brother, and then fa asbaha minan nadimin, the Quran says he became regretful, remorseful, he regretted. بيان القرآن حكيم الأمر writes in مسائل السلوك ثبت به أن كل ندامة ليست بتوبة ثبت به أن كل ندامة ليست بتوبة. This ayah releases a strong hint to say that every regret does not constitute repentance. وإنما التوبة ندم يكون بعده الاعتذار والانكسار واهتمام التدارك. La ilaha illallah. He says, Tawbah, repentance, is a regret which is followed by humility, which is followed by humbleness, and which is followed by active measures to atone and compensate and expiate for your previous mistakes in your life. So we need to make the Tawbah. We need to put our thinking cap on. And if we are moving towards action, someone said in the English language, everybody wants to change the planet, but nobody wants to help mom clean the dishes. Everybody wants to change the planet, right? We've got this amazing plans, but help mom. And by the way, Radio Islam's got this, it kind of ties up with their whole campaign of husbands in the kitchen and chef and, doing their butt to display of their old culinary skills, etc. You have this amazing plan. Start your tawbah now. Do your things now. So just to recap some quick reflections, a believer is not one who goes into a mode of depression, who doesn't lose himself. He needs to, it's very important that we understand that precaution is has its role, but precaution, as in Arabic they say, al-hadru, that precaution cannot avert destiny. And again, Hakimul Ummah under this ayah writes so amazing, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a nation in tens of thousands that left their community. And they left because there was a plague. And as they exited, Allah caused their death. فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُ, without any apparent cause, because they were away from the plague. ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ, then Allah revived them without any apparent cause of life. It's not like, drink this water or touch the sand or there's an angelic touch from an angel or something. So there was no apparent cause of death and there was no apparent cause of life. ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ, and then Allah revived them. And then Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ. La ilaha illallah. Indeed, the grace of Allah upon man is profound. So under this ayah, he writes, what was the grace of Allah upon those people? And what is the grace of Allah upon us to tell us the tale? What was the grace of Allah upon those people? And what is the grace of Allah upon us to narrate this tale in the Quran? He said the grace of Allah upon those people was tashihu aqaidihim, to rectify their belief that leaving a place of a plague does not guarantee life. And to be in a place where there is no plague doesn't mean that you will live forever. And it doesn't mean if you die, then there is no possibility of life. That was the fadl of Allah. And the fadl of Allah upon us is to narrate such tales to us. What they say in Urdu, that the tales of the previous nations, is just not a story, بلکہ مستقبل کا قطب نبا ہوتی ہے. Right? Mustaqbil ke liye qutb numa hoti hai. That it is a compass for the sailor. So it's just not to know what happened in the past. To read about the past is there. It's a reality. You read about it, you learn about it, you understand it. But the aim is just not sheer transmission of information, but it is to realign your compass. And I think that is key, that we realign our compass. So I just want to start off. I know our 30 minutes is close to ending here. Basically, Hakimul Ummah rahimahullah writes here a plague had broken out in India, and the magnitude of this was quite severe. And it always has remained the teachings of Islam to help people during difficulties and to rectify their aqaid. Imam Nawawi has made mention of it in the Sharah of Muslim as well, that يَنْبَغِي لِلْعَالِمِ الْمُطَاعِ أَنْ يُسَكِّنَ النَّاسِ عِنْدَ الْفِتَنِ. So he writes at one place here that that after this year, you know, after changing my address in my talks, it became a sense of comfort for people, and signs of happiness and contentment became manifest in many people. All the distress and difficulties were turned into contentment. And I think that's the aim that we have here. I found it appropriate to name this booklet Shauq-e Watan, because the year after is our original Watan and our original abode. So I'm going to conclude on that note, and inshallah, as of tomorrow, we'll commence with the first chapter, and that's the chapter, the reward for illness and hardship. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us ease and afia, to grant us cure, to grant us safety. But for a believer, it's a win-win situation. For a believer, it's a win-win situation that if he perseveres in his home and he remains content on the decree of the Almighty, then for him is ajru shaheed, for him is the reward of a martyr. So our takeaway from today, there were multiple things that we shared. The takeaway is one, regardless of how challenging your situation is, it could be more severe, it could be more intense. Comfort yourself that Allah reduced it to 3 weeks, Allah minimized it to this level, Allah had the ability and has the ability to make it more severe, more intense, more overwhelming. That's the eye of a believer in every situation and every affliction that comes to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him that inner contentment. Under this ayah, the scholars write the same thing, that ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub, by the remembrance of Allah there is comfort. Nurun yufidhuhu Allah ta'ala ala qulubil awliya. It's a divine light that Allah gives peace to those that worship Him and obey Him and are at peace with Him. May Allah make us like how Sayyidina Musa and Harun, although they were in the valley of Thi, but for them it was a place of ease and comfort. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen.